Good afternoon, or good morning. This is the Subcommittee of Transportation and Economic Development, and Robin Lamont is with us, and we're on House Bill 3530. This will open a public hearing and possible work session on 3530, and we'll go ahead and turn the time to Ms. Lamont.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there are a couple of amendments attached, or there's an amendment attached to the bill, which LSO did, which clarifies how the inflation adjustment is added to the county fair account. The purpose of that amendment is to enable the Department of Administrative Services and Legislative Fiscal to have a fixed number biennially for the purposes of accounting for how lottery fund dollars are used. There's also an appropriation in this bill, and as a result of that, there is an emergency clause. What this bill does is to appropriate $3,100,000 to the county fair account for the biennium beginning July 1, 2001.
Thank you. Representative Johnson is recognized.
This is for one biennium, 01-03.
Correct.
And that's it.
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, this is a permanent appropriation. It creates an ongoing appropriation or allocation of lottery funds, but there is no inflation adjustment for the 01-03 biennium. The inflation adjustment begins in the 03-05 biennium and is adjusted for the purposes, the amendments change the adjustment process to ensure that we have a fixed number at the start of each biennium so that we can account for lottery dollars.
Other questions? Legislative Fiscal Office at this time. We'd like to go ahead and for the public testimony. John, would you like to come forward? John McCulley, or
thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm John McCulley, representing the Oregon Fairs Association. We appreciate the opportunity to be here and testify in favor of House Bill 3530. This will provide stable funding for county fairs, a goal that we have had for many sessions, and appreciate, Mr. Chair, your work in bringing this bill forward. I should note for the record that there is a companion measure to this bill that we hope to have to your committee soon, House Bill 3905, which provides for an accountability system for county fairs. And I won't go into great detail on that because when it comes to your committee, I'd be happy to also testify in favor of it. But we believe that with your making this commitment to county fairs and what they are doing in their communities, that it also is important that there be an accountability piece to that. And so we just, I guess, want to notify the committee that that's an important part of this package that we're dealing with. And I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you for saying what you did about the accountability piece, because that's my bill, and obviously I've been very concerned about it, have been for a year since I've been following the progress of county fairs, and have been reassured by you and the county fairs, both individually and collectively, that they're very supportive of having that accountability piece. I'm just trying to get clear in my own mind how many county fair funding vehicles there are right now moving through the process. There's this one, and then is there yet another bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, not to my knowledge. There have been other bills introduced, but they are not moving through the process. There was a bill that we had introduced on our behalf, House Bill 2047, help me, Mr. President, there, 2047, that also has been referred to this committee. Our organization believe that this is a better vehicle than that was, and as far as I know, That's the only other bill.
Follow-up.
Was 2047 the one that was a fixed percentage of the lottery without the cap?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Representative Johnson, it allocated 1.1% of the lottery. There was no cap. And then it sent that money to county fairs, 3.6 million of that, and then established a trust fund for the remainder.
Right, and that bill is not moving, so this is the vehicle right now that appears to be heading through the process, and as I recall, is calculated in some of the budget documents that we've seen. But my curiosity is, why are the numbers different? There's a $100,000 number differential.
I've met Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson. I'm not sure what number you were looking at. What was included in the Department of Agriculture's budget was $3,094,000 something.
Right.
And the co-chair's direction was that this bill be budget neutral. And so what this is $3,100,000. There's a $6,000 difference.
Okay, and I guess what I'm thinking is, in some of the discussions that have occurred with the caucuses and the co-chairs, I have seen the number 3 million.
Madam Chair, I think I may have too, but Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Or for me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson. It doesn't look like Madam, sorry.
Only on the weekend.
They are aware of this note.
Robin, with all this jocularity, I missed your answer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the co-chairs are aware of this number. The 3.1 million.
Okay, so it may have just been just a
rounding
presentation purposes. Okay, but we're talking about the same concept.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Representative Ringel.
Thank you. I'm sure we've been discussing some of the briefings we've had, but just to reiterate, how many counties have county fairs?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringel, all 36 counties have a county fair.
Okay, and the county fair commission will distribute these funds.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringel, that's correct. That's a commission that was established in 1969 and has the capabilities to do that.
And I assume that they won't do it. They won't divide by 36. They've got some other mechanism to figure out what needs are based on the size of the fair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringo, in the past, the County Fair Commission distributed dollars from Paramutual Racing. There were 7 county fair commissioners. They would go to every county fair in the state during the summer and give them a score, and then they would allocate dollars based on the points they received from that score. Surprisingly, there was very little difference between the county fair scores. To be perfectly honest, we would recommend that they do distribute it equally to all of the fairs, just as a way of the easiest way to do it. The County Fair Commission at this point is not visiting every county fair. As a matter of fact, it went out of existence in 1993.
I mean, I know in my part of the state that the Washington County Fair is a big fair. Multnomah County is really struggling, and I don't know attendance size. It just seems to me that I'm sure in other parts of the state, Chiefs County Fair I think is huge, and maybe Gilliam County. And so I wondered, really, do you want to divide it evenly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringo, we obviously have had this discussion within our organization because all of the fairs are members of our organization, and we have come to the conclusion that it. Is best to distribute it equally. That just seems to work. Even as I said, when they were rated, when they were given a point system, it came out equally. Okay. So we think that's still the best way to do it.
Okay,
One comment that you made, Mr. McCauley, relative to the County Fair Commission, they are still active and still operating because House Bill 3905, which would be the accountability portion of this, basically makes that accountability response and report county by county back to the County Fair Commission. So can you just give me some assurance that they're active and participating and involved in the viability of their fair?
Mr. Chair, I can tell you that since 1993, they have not been active. There will have to be a fair commission appointed based on the passage of this legislation. And we have been visiting with the Department of Agriculture, and that is planned to occur.
Representative Johnson.
I want to make sure that we have clarity about this. When you say based on the passage of this legislation, you're talking about 3530, not the accountability piece.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I think both bills have to pass to, well, the County Fair Commission is going to be recreated because it will now have a job to do. It has not had a job to do since 1993.
The distinction I'm trying to draw is that what I'm trying to add doesn't cause the creation of a commission.
No.
The commission was being created to receive this ongoing appropriation, or not created, but re-energized, to receive the ongoing appropriation, and then they would also be responsible for doing the accountability piece, and will play a more active, I hope, role in oversight of county fairs in toto.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that's correct.
Senator Connell.
Yeah, since I seem to always be bringing up history, boy, I'm beginning to feel like a strong woman or something.
You don't look like strong woman. Oh, he should look so good.
Well, I wanted to digress a bit, but I don't think I wanted to digress that far. But I would just state that my husband was involved with the State Commission when we went around and visited fairs, and you had silver points and gold points and all of this, and everything from the Multnomah County Fair and the Washington County Fair to the Wheeler County Fair. And I got to say, the best one I ever went to was the Wheeler County Fair. And I hope tomorrow I want to talk about the accountability piece and how we have concerns about these little tiny fairs like Wheeler County. And the reason it was so impressive to me is because that's where I saw what community spirit really is. When you see little kids jump off their horse and hand it over to mom and dad so the mom and dad can go participate in the fair, and the little kids are going, come on, mom, come on, dad, and then the parents get off and the little kids get on the horse, they're going, come on, Johnny, come on. It's really done on a minimum amount of money, and certainly a lot of volunteer help in that little community. And every fair was great that we attended, but I'll tell you, that one impressed me the most, and that's why I always support county fairs.
Thank you very much, Senator. Representative Johnson, recognize.
I just want to be clear for the record that this accountability piece is in no way meant to be punitive or to dampen the kind of spirit that you're talking about. I grew up hanging around the Deschutes County Fair back when it was at the old fairgrounds. But it is truly intended, I hope, to create longevity for county fairs. It has been my observation that well-meaning volunteers have not always adhered to the best business practices, and that the idea behind this accountability piece is to bring some conformity to the reporting and to hopefully encourage fairs to engage in best business practices for fair and non-fair related revenue generating opportunities, with the idea in mind of eventually trying to make fairs as self-sustaining as possible. And I'm very hopeful that the commission will give guidance to the volunteer, they're all volunteer boards, that serve county fairs throughout the state, and will become a clearinghouse for best business practices and a way to share successes and steer away from common failures. So this is not meant to do anything that dampens the activities of the fairs. It's guidance to engage in those practices that will strengthen fairs. And I think that it's an essential piece of bringing commonality and best business practices to how fairs are performing.
And Representative Johnson, I appreciate that, and I think you're on, I support the goal you have in mind. I think of, when I think of Wheeler, Sherman, Gillum, other counties in that area, that these volunteers will have to do the accountability piece, and their expertise might be, it's going to be difficult for some of those folks.
Ideally, the commission could, there are a number of organizations, one that immediately comes to my mind called TAX, that teaches boardsmanship to boards. Mm-hmm. How do you do good budgeting? How do you do good public meetings? How do you do records keeping that has integrity? and that once the commission is up and functional and has some money and knows they're not scratching from one biennium to the next to stay alive, that they can then sort of with a breather step back and engage in those practices that strengthen county fair boards. Would be a vehicle by which to offer classes to boards so they can come and understand their fiduciary responsibility as members of a board that's dealing with public money. So I see it as an opportunity. You take the heat off a little bit in this constant, I call it the shark syndrome, eat and move, you just hunt for money constantly. That if this brings some certainty to the money that comes to fairs, then they can engage in some better business practices that strengthen fairs in total. You raise the water in the harbor and all the boats float, and I think that's the mechanism to do it.
And there was another piece of that I have kind of taken out of this subcommittee as well, if I could add upon your comments, Representative Johnson, that is that a portion of this was brought up while we discussed the state fair issue, that we've got to find a viable feeder to the state fair program, and we've got to make sure that our county fairs are successful. And again, that's, as we have discussed, that's a very inexpensive way to enhance and encourage youth to participate in the kinds of things that they should do as they go on to participate in the state fair and the county fairs to go to the state fair. Representative Smith is recognized.
Thank you, Chair Butler. Just an aside comment. As a member from the rural part of Oregon with the three smallest counties, I'm pleased to know that the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Economic Development and Transportation is hearing this bill, because county fairs are an economic development tool that really do support our small communities and our larger communities, and so I appreciate your leadership in bringing this forward.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd take 1 second here and follow up on your comment concerning the Oregon State Fair, because I know this was a concern to the subcommittee, and I just wanted to report to you that on June 27th, we will be meeting with representatives from the Oregon State Fair. A committee of our organization of county fairs will be meeting to follow up on the direction that you have given the both of us to work together and find collaborative means to support each other and provide the type of fair system that I think this subcommittee envisions. So
I understand, John, that's part of the reason that we've got quite a lot of activities now surrounding some of the discussions of commissioners for the county or for the county fair commission again.
There, Mr. Chair, there is great interest in people coming forward to serve on that commission.
Great. Excellent. Representative Johnson?
One other piece, and Mr. McCulley and I have struggled trying to get this, my bill drafted in a way that I think is acceptable, and there have been some sort of surprises as we've moved through the system. One of the things that I'm not going to complain about in the draft, but I want to get on the record, is at page 2, line 17, maintenance of liability insurance in an amount satisfactory to the, I had envisioned right straight along that this would say county commissions of the fair. This now says county fair commission. Two entirely different beasts. One of the things that I heard from county commissions right straight along was that frequently county fairs and county commissions have been at odds with each other, and that because of the wide statutory authority given to county fairs, that they were operating largely autonomously from any commission oversight. I'm hopeful that the county fair commission will provide a vehicle for county commissioners to come in and discuss the needs of the county vis-a-vis liability, so that you don't have scenarios where county fair boards are creating liability for county commissions without the county commission's ability to say or do anything about it. Booking rock concerts and having the Rolling Stones under contract, and suddenly the county commission finds out that they can't afford it and somebody's stuck with the liability, or somebody slips and falls down and breaks a leg and the county commission gets sued for activities done by the county fair board. So given my original druthers in this amendment that we're offering, this my bill, would have had the maintenance of liability insurance in the amount satisfactory to county commissions. County fair got stuck in here. I'm not at this juncture going to fuss about it, but I want to be on the record as saying your partners, in my view, are county commissions. And too often when I've gone around and talked to fairs and commissions, I find out that an adversarial relationship exists that cannot be beneficial to either side of that equation. And I hope that, one of the first jobs that the County Fair Commission, when it's revitalized, undertakes is a way to reach out to disenfranchised county commissions and begin to rebuild those relationships that should be proactive and amicable and are not often that way.
Representative Johnson, I may say that we may need statutory language change too in that regard, because the county fair boards have a certain degree of autonomy.
Oh, I know they do.
That they enjoy, having the County Fair Commission now actually revitalized may give us now a sounding board to start to make sure that we can draw that cohesiveness. And I know that the 3905 refers to that liability issue, which has been a concern. So,
Mr. Chair, let me bring to you, when 3905 is up, I would be happy to bring to you the legislation we passed last session that we worked on with AOC to develop this better working relationship between the fair boards and the county commissions, because it did include things like liability insurance. Legislation has passed in previous sessions that does allow a county commissioner to serve on a fair board. Some county fair boards actually include county commissioners. So I think that there's other information out there that I can provide to the committee that shows we're trying to make steps in that direction.
Excellent. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Other discussion, questions? Senator
Yee? Mr. Chairman, I think this is a good idea to bring stability and funding for the fund fair. But are we always going to have enough money that at the end of unobligated net lottery proceeds, are we always going to have $326.4 million available? Because then you won't have very much money at the end. We're talking about 1% of unobligated net lottery proceeds remaining in the fund. So if we need to spend more money and not much ending balance in the lottery fund, then we're not going to get the 1% that we need.
I guess the question is for Robin.
I
don't know how to respond to that. It depends on what the legislature chooses to do. The answer to your question is, we don't know. Right now, what the 1% is a cap. What is being allocated is about half of what's available under that cap. So there is some growth that can probably occur, but if in fact there is some additional constitutional dedication of lottery funds, that would reduce the net available, not to mention the debt service and other factors. So the answer to your question is, we simply don't know.
Today we're okay. In the future we may not be.
Depending on how much legislature spends.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Well, and also whether or not there is another constitutional amendment, such as happened with the Education Endowment Fund or with the Parks and Natural Resources Fund, which could happen also.
Okay. Further discussion? We are in a public session, public hearing, and possible work session of House Bill 3530. And we do acknowledge that we will be scheduling 3905, the companion bill, for tomorrow. And just by way of announcement, we will be meeting on Saturday. And on Saturday, we'll be taking up Housing and Community Services. So,
Mr. Chair, do you know the time on Saturday yet?
I don't know the time yet. So.
And what time would it be tomorrow? Just after full?
That's my understanding, after full, according to Representative Westland, and we'll do our very best to schedule that through once we know what bills will be in full, so that we'll be able to accommodate as well as what our schedule will be on the Senate and House floor.
And staff doesn't know yet either.
Yeah. Sure, we'll have enough for Saturday.
Conflict with other
I am the
other
commencement speaker at Eastern Oregon University Saturday. Do you know what time we'll be meeting on Saturday?
I do not know. We have not been
in the morning. What time is your commencement?
In the morning.
I would assume that Co-Chair Westland would be here if we need him for a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so.
I would really...
You gotta have Representative Ringel here.
I'll be here.
Okay, excellent. Yes, you need to be here too.
I can't think of any other place I'd rather stand than right here with this committee.
Thank you very much.
Do you need a motion for the day?
Mr. Chair, she's probably going to work.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3530.
Mr. Chair, do you want the motion for the dash two amendments?
Dash one.
Dash one.
Dash one or dash two?
It'll be dash one.
It says dash two on the back here, but...
Let me double...
That's 11 or dash two.
Oh, I'm sorry, it is dash two.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3530.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Representative Johnson.
I am going to condition my yes vote today on getting these two bills married up. And right now we have the sign off of one of the co-chairs, not two. And if it turns out that we can't get that other signature or that somehow they do not get married up, I'm not only going to be a no, but a pretty aggressive no. And I just want to make sure that that's on the record. But for today, based on the goodwill of the co-chair Westland, I'm a yes.
Okay. With that, are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Okay.
And the next motion is to accept the... Do you want these one at a time or just accept the rest of the LFO?
Why don't we go ahead with the proposed amendments LFO is...
I would move that we accept the proposed amendments to House Bill 3530 as proposed by LFO.
I think we just did that.
Okay,
so,
this is the explanation, the recommendations.
That's what I thought you needed, these recommendations.
And then approve the allocation.
Right, number two.
Number two, approve the allocation.
I move that we accept the number two allocation.
Okay.
Recommended by LFO.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Recommendation one is approved dash one amendment.
We made that dash
two. My error. Dash two.
Okay. Okay.
And we did that, so now we're accepting the
objection to legislative fiscal office's recommendation acceptance of 3.11 to the fair account for the 0103 biennium. Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Senator?
Now, do we need the emergency clause added?
No, it has been.
Okay. I move that we move House Bill 3530 as amended to the full with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Carnell now moves that we move the bill as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation as to House Bill 3530. Is there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And let's see. Senator Carnell, you've spoken kindly on county fairs.
Well, I'd like to see a senator. You would like to chair it. Would you like to chair it?
Will you tell your dummy story?
On the floor. Would you like to chair it? You may chair it. You go ahead.
I've carried so many bills, if you'd like to.
Senator Yee?
Yes,
we'll have Senator Yee carry it on the floor of the Senate and in the House.
I think Chair Butler should carry this. This is your bill, and this is...
It is your bill.
This is an excellent
Thank
bill.
Thank you very much. I'll go ahead and do that to the full end of the House, then.
Oh,
okay. That's okay?
Yep, that's the
one. Thank you very much.
The vision I had was if my amendment didn't get attached to it, I'd carry it and vote the urge to vote no.
That has nothing to do with my motivation.
What's the difference between an aggressive no and a no?
Oh, a no just sits here quietly. An aggressive no works like a dog.
Thank you very much. We will close in the hearings on 35 minutes. So there are transportation bills before us relating to fees 5547. Thank you.
executive session. And I have an error that was approved. So could we reopen the public hearing?
You bet. You bet.
Real quickly.
We haven't opened 35, or we haven't opened 50, 36 yet. So.
Okay. You technically have to redo the...
We'll reopen then the work session.
Yeah.
On House Bill 3530.
And you have to reconsider, move to reconsider the motion by which you moved it to full ways and means.
The motion is by Representative Johnson that we reconsider the motion by which we passed 3530 to the full.
Right.
Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. We will reconsider 3530.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, the calculation error in my recommendation number 2, that should be $3,100,000, not $110,000.
Okay. I was reading it wrong then.
No, I was. It's written wrong.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that we accept the recommendation of LFO to change the number 2's amount from $3,110,000 to $3,100,000. To House Bill 3530.
Senator Clarnell now moves recommendation number 2 of Legislative Fiscal Office at $3,100,000 for the county fair for 0103 biennium. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And then Senator Clarnell now moves
House Bill 3530 to the full with a due pass recommendation as amended.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Objections? Ordered.
Thank you.
We will move to close again. 3530. We'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 5547, Legislative Council or Legislative Fiscal.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5547 is a fee bill. This is the legislature's opportunity to ratify fees that were established during the biennium and approved by the Department of Administrative Services. In this case, we have no park permit fees that are administered by the Department of Transportation for plowing and cleaning up snow parks. And this was originally in House Bill 5032. Earlier in the session, we made a decision to move all of the fees that pertain to departments to the subcommittee that reviewed the department's budget, and we're using a blank bill to move these fees into Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee. And that's why you have Senate Bill 5547, and we've have this amendment to 5547 to include the snow park fees there.
We are in a public hearing. You see the amendments to 5547, which will make it a fee bill for those snow parks, and recreation parking areas, one-day permit at $3, three-day permit $7, annual permit $15. Any discussion? Representative Johnson or Smith?
Thank you, Chair Butler. Quick question. How do folks in rural Oregon go about getting these permits?
Let's have Doug from the Department of Transportation come forward. Maybe he can help us.
Thanks, Chair Butler, member of the committee. Doug Simmel, maintenance engineer for the Department of Transportation. Snow park permits are sold both through DMV offices and through a variety of other sporting goods stores, ski resorts, all those sorts of things.
Follow-up question, Chair Butler.
Follow-up, Representative Smith.
So how would somebody in Fossil, Oregon get a permit?
Chair Butler, Representative Smith, I'm not I could check to see if there's a store in Fossil that sells them. I'm not sure which snow park they'd be using, but there has not been a concern that I've heard by any rural, anybody rural or urban, that says, hey, I can't get a permit. I can't find a place to buy one.
Mr. Chairman, see if I can help. You wouldn't need a permit unless you were going to the winter recreation areas and then all the way up, like at Mount Bachelor. Does that help? Or
that does. There's places then on the way.
Yes. There's places on the way. All the ski shops offer them. There's places on the way, so you don't have to go to a DMV office.
Thank you, Senator Clark. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, someone skis in the group here.
But, Mr. Chair, members, I also know that if you don't get a permit and you get a ticket, you can go buy a permit right away and they'll dismiss your fine.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we could work out something like that with speeding tickets.
That's right.
Any further questions relative to the fee permit that were in Senate Bill 5547? Senator Yee.
Is this an increase in fee or is this a new fee?
Establishment of the fee, is it not?
No, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is an increase from what had already been established, and I can't remember. I think it was like $1 for 1 day and $5 for 3 day. And
Chair Butler, Ms. Jordan, and Senator Yee, the fees had been $2 for 1 day, $5 for a 3 day, and $10 for a season. That was not generating enough revenue. We'd spent down all of the balance, and so there was a bill in the last session that allowed us to increase the fees, and we did that 2 years ago. This is a ratification of that increase. This is there's no jump that will happen this next winter.
Yeah, I know there was some discussion last session about these snow parks.
Mm-hmm. Can I just
Yes, follow up.
This is purely just for my own clarification. The fees that we're charging are for folks that are driving up to areas that are federally owned land.
Chair Butler, Representative Smith, the parking lots are, most of them are on federal land, although not all. Some of them are on county land.
Can I help again?
Please,
but they're maintained by our ODOT. Are we not correct? They're maintained in the parking lots. Okay.
Chair Butler, Senator Corner, we actually contract out a pretty substantial portion of this to the landowner. Timberline does a whole bunch of snow removal that is reimbursed to them through the snow park permit.
The federal government does not get the money because they do not do the parking
That's
lot.
Correct.
This is good. Yep.
As one who does ski, it's nice to have the maintenance of the parking area be such that we can get there, and also the safety of the roads getting up there. And I would just give a little plug for Mount Bachelor. They pay that fee, so you do not have to have a parking permit
That's
at Mount
correct.
Bachelor, but you do at Mount Hood Meadows and Timberline.
That's
and
Representative Ringo is recognized.
Well, I'll just follow up. I mean, I've purchased these both for downhill skiing and cross-country skiing, and to me they make sense. It's one of these. You use the service, and it just makes sense that you help pay for it. Question I did have, I mean, for cross-country skiing, I know some places they have improved cross-country trails where they're actually groomed, and I think part of this fee goes to that. Is that not true?
Chair Butler, Representative Ringo, that's not correct. What may be going to some cross-country trails, if they're co-used by snowmobiles, the snowmobile, another separate fee, they do groom trails, but this money is only for clearing of snow for the parking area.
Okay. Thank you.
And I was wrong, but a big discussion that we had last session was more on the snowmobile ATVs than it was, and who is responsible for those ATVs as well.
Parks is.
I remember that. Okay, further questions? We'll go then into a, thank you, Judge. We'll close the public hearing and we'll go into a work session on Senate Bill 5547. Susie?
Mr. Chair, we need a motion to approve the amendment and then to move the bill to the full committee.
Chair, I will move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 5547.
Senator Carno now moves the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 5547. Any discussion? Any dissension? No votes? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
And Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 5547 as amended to the full with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Connell now moves Senate Bill 5547 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections to that motion? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And Senator Connell,
unless Senator
Yudzinski.
And besides, it's a fee bill, so even though she I will carry it.
You'll carry it to the Senate and to the full. And then Representative Johnson.
Yes, so inside full.
Yes.
Oh, sure, because if I try to pawn it off on him, he'll whine about the fee bill. So
wait a minute. We do have a skier amongst us. Are you a skier?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I'm a skier, right? It's really ought to be carried by a skier.
I'm happy to. I'm
okay.
Happy to carry it.
Representative Rindle, would you carry this to the House? This could be one of the lowest fee bills that we actually.
Happy to do that.
Okay. Do we know how much this raises? This could be a very low amount.
it's a few million dollars. It costs whatever it costs.
The increase?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the increase, but it covers the cost.
Yeah. We'll close then. Yes. Senate Bill 5547. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I was going to run off somewhere for about 5 minutes. I assume that you're in the
public hearing. Okay. Or just doing work session?
Senator, you need to be right back.
You want to recess for 5 minutes?
Yeah, do you need to take off for just a minute, Chair?
Just 5 minutes.
Okay. We'll just